A change, a change has come over me. He changed my life, and now I am free. He washed away all my sins, and he made me whole. He washed me white as snow. He changed all my sins, and now I said it is me to do what must be done. I'm gonna work and I work until it comes. A wonderful change. Over me. Oh, a wonderful change. Over me. Oh, he changed my life completely, and now I see it change. I see that it's me to do what must be done. Change. I'm gonna work and I'll work and I'll work until it comes. A wonderful change. Over me. A wonderful change has come over and over and over and over and over. Oh, it's the age. Complete change, and now I see it, and it's fit to do what must be done. I'm gonna work and I'll work and I'll work and I'll work until it comes. Has anybody out there been changed? Has anybody out there been changed? Has a change come over you? Oh. If you can say that you've been changed, you want to wave your hands. Over me. Has come over me. Yeah. A wonderful change. Over me.
Amen. 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 Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank and praise you right now for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his total sufficiency as our Lord, our Liberator, and our Redeemer, and our Savior. We thank and praise you, Father, for life, health, and strength, for watching over us, Father, taking care of us, even, Father, when we didn't want to take care of ourselves. So, Father, I ask you right now to protect my prayers that I may consecrate and be powerful in it without being hindered by any natural weaknesses. Yes. As Moses said, give ear, O heaven, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop as the rain, my speech to steal as the dew. Like gentle rain upon the tender grass and like showers upon the earth, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe his greatness to our God. Father, be ever gracious to me. Let a ray of your light penetrate the darkness of my understanding. Give me confidence in the power of your gospel. Yes. Grant me clarity and understanding in proclaiming the truth of your word. Edify your church right now, God. Through your work. Now, Spirit of living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, anoint me. Anoint me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recover the sight of the blind, let the lame walk in those who have been treated bad. May they be set free as I pronounce this day for your coming and your kindness. So, Father, enlighten my mind with truth. Inflame my heart with love, inspire me with all courage, enrich my life with service, pardon what I have been, sanctify what I am, and order my steps in your word. Oh Lord, may your precious blood answer whatever come from Satan right now. We bind the strong man in the name of Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight, Father, because you are my strength and you are my redeemer. In Jesus Christ we pray, and all the church, amen.
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 And amen again.
Amen.
It is good to be here in the house of the Lord. Well, what a wonderful change, amen. And what a wonderful change. First, let me give honor to Yahweh.
Amen.
And all the praises to Yahweh. And all our praises to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to the angel of this church, and the shepherd of this house, my brother, Brother Edwin, and to his lovely wife, First Lady Julia, to the deacons, deaconess, and to the staff of the house, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to the pulpit, and everyone who's come tonight to share on this occasion. And God bless you, and God keep you. And I bless you, and may God bless you for coming. And of course, my lovely, beautiful lover, friend, Maria, my boo, my confidant, my girlfriend, my riding partner, my traveling buddy, and the love of my life, my wife, Pat. I also thank you for handling me and staying with me. We're not going to keep you long tonight. I know you've heard that before, and oftentimes when pastors say that, you don't believe them, but believe me. I don't plan on staying long tonight because I want you to come back tomorrow night. Amen. So if I don't stay long, you come back. Amen. 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 Now, I didn't say we're going to have them Thursday night, but tonight. Amen. But I believe in putting things in context. And there are three things I want to accomplish this week in this revival. One of the things I want to accomplish, and I know my English may seem a little crazy, but deal with me. I want to accomplish how you recognize where you is. How you recognize where you is. The second thing I want on Thursday night, if the Lord does not change my mind, what did you do when you find out where you is? And of course, Thursday night, I want to talk about living where you is, where you is. So tonight we're going to jump in, we're going to talk about how you recognize where you is. How you recognize where you is. I want you to go with me to the 40th chapter of 40th Psalm, not the chapter, the 40th Psalm. And we'll look at verse 1, 2, 3, maybe 4, and 5. A very familiar passage of scripture, which you're all familiar with. Amen. The 40th Psalm. A very familiar passage of scripture, which you're familiar with. And it says this. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, respect not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be beckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined his ear to me. I want to speak for a moment in a few moments of your prayers. I want to speak from the subject, I got to get out. I got to get out. Got to get out. I've got to get out. Exodus, I think the 20th chapter, talks about the fact that God said that I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you out of bondage. And then he said, thou shalt have no other God before me. He said, I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of slavery. I brought you out of bondage. And thou shalt have no other God before me. It's amazing that when God brought you out, that's what he said. I don't want you worshiping and talking to anybody else but me. And it appears oftentimes that the world has taught us to do just the opposite. We want to talk to everything and everybody except God. So much so that it has surrendered and submitted ourselves to false gods. That so much so that you even realize they are false gods. You're doing things right now in the world that keep you away from God. And God said, I don't like it. Because I brought you out, not them. You should be worshiping me, not them. But you spend more time on not worshiping me, but worshiping something else. Which means I'm caught. I'm hung up. And I don't even know I'm hung up. Oh, yes, I know. Well, Pastor, no, that's not. Yes, it is. Say, for instance, that you get up on Sunday morning and your hair ain't right. I ain't talking about nobody now. Man, your hair ain't right. You'll stay home from God because your hair ain't right. Because you're saying somebody at church is going to see me. But those at church can't even bless you. Uh-oh. Those at church ain't got nothing for you. They ain't took care of you. They didn't watch over you last night. But I'll stay home from God because my hair ain't right. Are you with me? If it comes down to a football game and traveling on Sunday, you say, well, I'll make up for it when I get where I'm going. Mm. The enemy have taught you to make excuses for not worshiping God. And God is saying that I can't let you do that because I can't let you have no other God before me. I want you to do some kind of survey within yourself and see what keeps you from God. Watch me now. It can be not necessarily visible stuff. It can be your anger. It can be your unforgiveness. It can be your toe, your shoes, anything that will separate you from God. He said, thou shalt have no other God. It can be your husband, your wife, your children. Thou shalt have no other God before me. That's why my message today is, look to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got to get out. Because I'm stuck. And I don't even know I'm stuck. Because the world has given you the permission to be stuck. It's all right as long as I'm satisfying my buddies and my neighbors and my friends. I'm not disturbed, and so much so that when I come to church, I don't come to church to be disturbed. I come to church to be comfortable. And I think ain't no Christian got no business being comfortable. If a Christian ain't intense, if they ain't ready to get on the edge, they ain't living something right. Because this walk with God will put you on the edge. This walk with God will make you intense. Because there's work to be done. Have you ever heard of a bored Christian? I can't understand how a Christian can be bored. Do you? How can a Christian be? There's so much work to be done for the Lord. There's so much gospel to be preached for the Lord. There's so many hungry people to be fed. There's so many people to be clothed that are naked. There's so many people visiting the prison, but I'm bored. Look to your neighbor some more times. Neighbor, I got to get out because I'm stuck. And one of the reasons why we're stuck because we do not realize or we have not caught up with it at best of us being stuck. Because stuck has become second nature to us now. Do you know that we accept anything now? It's all right. We accept anything now. God said, I can't handle that. Because we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings and we don't want to speak out. And there has no business being no quiet Christian. Especially if you're speaking for the Lord. How many of you got friends you know they're doing wrong but you won't say nothing? How many on your job you know it's wrong but you won't say anything? Because you want to fit in. And you don't want to be left out. If my friends don't talk to me. But all you had your hands waving tonight, what a wonderful change. Amen. The question becomes, have I really changed? Do you know, I think it's Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Yeah. Do you know your old things can become your God? Yeah. Check yourself out and see if I'm still going back into my old stuff. Right. Now, you're supposed to be new in Christ, but you're still doing old stuff. I ain't talking about no mistakes. I'm talking about you doing it. Oh, Lord Jesus, I won't be coming back. I know next year. That's all right. But I'm doing it. And the question becomes, is my old stuff become my God? Check yourself out. If you're a member of Christ and if you're in Christ, check yourself out and see if I'm doing the same thing that I was doing before I came to Christ. Oh, Lord. If I'm still cursing as much or more now. Because I'm proclaiming that I'm with Christ now. Have I really turned the leaf and turned the life to the one who called me late at night and said, come by? Have I pushed back from that? Or I'm in the same place where I was before? Can I stay here for a moment? I will not say that you will not repeat things. I won't say that. All right. But I will say you must hate it. If I'm doing something that shouldn't be done, it got me caught, it got me stuck, I should hate them doing it. Do you know one way to get rid of sin? Hate it. But you're falling in love with what you're doing. Because it occupies you. And you know one thing that I found out? They like to hold on to little stuff. Everybody want to hold on to just a little flesh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can help you out. You know, I can help you out, right? I can help you out because oftentimes when I hear a person say, you know how I am? That means they hold on to some old stuff. You know me, you hold on to old stuff because the Bible says that you should become a new creature. When a you know me should be, not a you know me, you should know me because I'm in the Lord. But the text tells me basically today that I got to get out. the great Roberta Duran and the lightning hands of Sugar Ray Leonard. They met at the expectation of a welterweight championship. Roberta Duran, hands of stone Duran, and the lightning fast fists of the Sugar Ray Leonard got into the ring. They said Roberta was swinging in air just to meet the jab of Sugar Ray Leonard. The first round ended. Roberta went back to his corner. The second round came out and Roberta still was swinging, trying to catch it with Sugar Ray Leonard. All right. But he kept meeting a jab every time he missed air. In the middle of the second round, Roberta turned around to go back to his corner. While on his way back to his corner, he spoke to the referee and spoke in his native language, his native tongue, and said, "No mas, no mas, no more, no more." There has to be a time in your life when you are tired of swinging and hitting air. You got to go back to the referee and say, "No more, no more." Life itself should take you to a place now as you grow in Christ that you get tired of doing the same thing over and over again. The 12-step class won't help you. All right. This 10-step process won't help you. The only way it can help you with this is God. Because, and one of the reasons why we don't go to God, because Lord, me God gonna get us straight. And I don't want God to get me straight. I want God to stamp what I want to do. Are you with me? So the question becomes, when you go to a place of no more, what is it that you've become frustrated with? What is you become frustrated? What is that in your life right now that you tell yourself, no more, no more? I don't know about you, but some of us got some no mores in here. I got some no more stuff in me. Yes, I have. I said, "God, now can you help me out of this stuff? Too much stuff going across my mind. No more. Oh, y'all ain't with me. No more. So here we come. It comes to a place where it has to be a place in your life where you say, "No more, no more, God. I'm tired." Whatever your disposition is, whatever life has brought to you, all of us have a boxing ring of life. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. All of us have a boxing ring of life, either from our adversities or our adversaries, even from our burdens or our barriers, even from our conflicts or our crisis, from our difficulties, our draining demands, frustration and fatigue. All of us have a no more in our life. From troubles and trials, from suffering and anguish, from worn down or worn out, all of us have or no more in our life. The question becomes, have I recognized my no more? Oftentimes we have not, because the world has taught you to accept your no mores. Well, bear in mind, I don't care if you're saved. I don't care if you're carrying a big Bible. I don't care if you sing in the choir. All of us got some no mores. Yeah. With me, because this life that you're traveling down right now, oftentimes we won't throw our hands in there, losing our grip. I'm about to slip. Have you been there in your life? Amen. When you're almost, oh Jesus, you're about to lose your grip.
Yeah.
And about to slip into a place that ultimately you know are not good for you. The Bible does not delete itself from those who want to lose their grip. You do know Moses, right? You know Moses. Moses got mad.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He got mad because the folk that he was working with, the folk that he was bumping elbows with, the folk that he was bumping with, them saying folks turned against him.
Yeah.
But Moses, what you need to know, Moses was mad before that particular time. Miriam died. Mm-hmm. And Miriam was a prophetess in a sense. As long as Miriam was around, there was always water available. When Miriam died, that means there was no more water available. That's why the folks began to grumble about water. And Moses got mad with them because you're grumbling about water and the Lord's taking care of you. We don't have no grumblers in here, do you? But God, I'm taking care of you so much, but you're still grumbling because you ain't got no water.
God take care of you so much you're still grumbling because you ain't got nobody in here, of course, but they were grumbling because they felt God had left them. And Moses said to them, why are you grumbling? So Moses was already angry. He was angry because if you read your text and go even to Hebrew history, nobody talks about Miriam. They didn't even honor Miriam at all. All they know, they buried Miriam. And Moses was upset, perhaps, because they didn't even honor his sister. But here he comes to a place, and they made him mad. And God said, speak to the rock, and Moses hit the rock. Because he lost his temper. Because he got into a place, I can't take it no more. Are you that way sometimes? When I just can't take it no more.
Yeah.
I want to slap somebody because I can't take it no more. I want to run over somebody because I can't take it no more. Have you been there in your life? Yes, you have. Look here. If you're a believer, you should have been there in your life. Well, I just can't take it no more. And he couldn't take it, and he was about to lose his grip. But Elijah also was another person that lost. You know Elijah, right?
Yeah.
He just got to whipping some folks up.
Yeah.
And a woman came and told him, look here, I'm going to get you before the day is over with.
Amen.
Elijah got scared and ran. He said, no more. Oh, y'all with me? No more. You do remember the prodigal son, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, the prodigal son. He got to a place where he had to say no more.
No more.
Life took him to a place of hardship. Life took him to a place where he didn't have what he used to have. He had to say, no more,
no more.
No more. I think her name was Naomi, right? She lost everything. So much she said, no more, I got to go back, no more. What I'm telling you, life brings you to a place where you're able to, you want to cry, no more, no more. And the best way to deal with your no more stuff is to find out where you is. Oh, Lord Jesus. One of the reasons why we're still crying no more because I don't know where I am. But once a man or woman know where they is, then no mores have some significance to it. Are you with me? And David gave us a formula. I want to suggest to you, if you're in a place of no mores, or your place of where you're frustrated, place of adversaries, place of adversity, do what David said do. David said, I waited patiently. Oh, Lord Jesus, on the Lord. I'm in Bible, because they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes.
You know, you got some Christians who don't want to wait on the Lord.
Amen.
You want to do stuff yourself.
Amen.
Let the pastor say we're going to put something off one day. Lord Jesus. Oh, I can't say the word. I mean, I'm not in muff. I'll say something else, but I got to be careful. I got two more days to come back. But watch me, he said, but he cut to a place that you can't wait on the Lord. He said, they shall mount up like wings, and they shall renew their strength, and they shall run and not get weary, walk and not faint. He said to them, if you wait on me, I'll change you. If you wait on me, I'll bring you out of a pit. If you wait on me, I'll work with you.
All right.
But you got to wait on me. Look to your neighbors and neighbor, wait on the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we've become a society of microwave folks. We can't wait on nothing right now. I got a microwave. Put it in the microwave. You can't fit in the microwave. I don't want it. Why? Because I can't wait on the Lord. Here David said, wait on the Lord. My question to ask you today, what is your pit? All of us got a pit. Oh, yes, Lord, all of us got a pit. And David said, I'm in a pit. But Lord, want me to wait on him in a pit. Can I stop there for a moment?
Yeah.
Not only in a pit, but the text that he was in a horrible pit.
Yeah.
Evidently, there's a difference between being a pit and a horrible pit.
Yeah.
And David said, I'm in a horrible pit. And what do you do when you're in a pit? You got to find out first what your pit is. And we don't want to spend time searching ourselves. We don't spend time in the Bible reading by ourselves. One of the reasons why you can't find out what your pit is, because you're not walking in the will of God.
All right.
We have excluded the will of God. And the church purpose is to make sure God's will on earth is being done.
Amen.
That's our purpose. That's our purpose. But you can't do that if you don't know the will of God. And you can't know the will of God unless God is breathing into you. It'll help you out. See, oftentimes we pray out, but we don't take nothing in. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray out but not take anything. Let me help you out. Because if I'm reading the Bible breathed God into me.
Yeah.
And when I pray to God, I breathe out to him his will. Oh, Jesus, I hope you got it. So ultimately, I'm not walking according to God's will. I'm trying to get above God's will and go straight to heaven. I got some words for you. You can't get there until you have it on earth first. Yes, Lord. We don't want to have stuff on earth first. We want to get right into the heaven. Well, my arm is in heaven. No. Your arm are here first. Him second. Are you with me? So what is your pit? What is your pit? In other words, I want to suggest to you that all of us got a pit. But I also want to warn you, if you're in a pit, don't sit. Oftentimes, God has put us in the pit, brother. And I want to sit down in the pit.
Amen.
And so when I sit down in the pit, ultimately I'm stuck in that pit. I'm stuck so much that I become comfortable in my pit. John 10:10, the second piece said that he came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And ultimately, God wants you to live in abundance. I'm not talking about money either. I ain't talking about money. I ain't talking about $1,000, $1 million. He wants you to live in abundance. You know it's good to have an abundance of joy?
Yes. Amen.
You know it's good to have an abundance of peace?
Yes.
How want you to be in abundance? And ultimately, we have mistaken what that abundance means. We're looking for cars and houses and clothes and everything. Forget that stuff. That's just gravy God's going to give you. That's automatic. But look here. But if I look for the abundance of love, the abundance of peace, can I help you on this one? An abundance of long suffering. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Why? Because God wants to put you out of that pit. But when you get in the pit and you sit down, you lose sight of your pedestal. When you sit on a pitch, you lose sight of your pedestal. See, whenever you see people always fighting and angry and they're never going right, always finding fault, and can't nobody tell them nothing. They're in a pit. They're in a pit. You don't know anybody like that in here, but they're in a pit. And never happy. Everything always wrong. And look here, can't have enough of this and ain't got enough of that. Ain't nothing right, but haven't realized that where they is because they're in a pit. And so much in the pit that they have sit in the pit. And whenever you sit in the pit, watch me now, things begin to happen while you're sitting. But David said, watch me, I waited patiently on the Lord. Watch that word, waited patiently on the Lord, which means that David had an expectation that God was going to take him out the pit.
Yeah.
Can I help you? If you go back to Psalm 25 and going down to 37, 39, the rest of them, David talked about waiting all through those psalms. And what I liked, when I looked at those psalms, there were some psalms that David talked about waiting in that he did not get a prayer answered right away.
All right.
Which means that waiting took some time before it happened. But in this one, he talked like God answers prayer right away. Yes, I waited in this pit. And so in the pit, when in the pit, it goes through what I call the birth process. Yeah. Have you been there when God done birthed something out of you, but it didn't happen till 9 months later?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all with me? Oh, Jesus. He got something. Look here. Sometimes God will take you to a pit because he want to birth something out of you. But it won't come till 9 months later. Are you with me? Oh, y'all ain't with me? See, one of the things that what God do, God put something in you. But can't nobody tell it's in you. You impregnated with God and you can't nobody see it. Are you with me? You're walking around, everything is all right.
Yes, sir.
But they don't know God done put something in you. Look to your neighbor, say, neighbor. God done put something in you. And he has to put you in the pit in order to breathe it out of you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Because and so here you go. And so that first month you're walking around and you all right. The second month you're walking around, you all right. The third month, now a little bump show up. And somebody walk by to you and say, you look a little different now. You don't look the same. Are you gaining weight? You said, no, God, I got something in me. And it's about to burst out of me right now. And now comes the fourth month and the fifth month, and you're getting to look different, even more differently. Now you begin to change a little bit. I ain't eating potato chips no more.
All right.
I want to take care of myself better. The whole you ain't with me. The whole attitude changed. When God began to breathe things out of you, your whole attitude changed. You don't want to go to the same place no more. You want to do the same thing no more. Why? Because he's breathing something out of you. And then come that seventh month, and after a while, God began to speak to you. Ouch. Ouch. You've been there, and you begin to talk about something bothering me. I had a dream last night. I couldn't rest last night because something being birthed out of you. And then by the eighth month, you ain't got no control. So what God about to bring out of you, God starts to get control of you. You gotta go to the bathroom like you never had to go to the bathroom before. You got strange appetites now, eating things you've ate before. Why? Because God's about to burst something out of you. Oh, Jesus, that you can't help yourself anymore. And you think you're all right, and here your neighbor wants you to come and do some stuff you've been doing before, but you can't go with them now. Because now I'm different inside. Oh, Jesus. Let's go hang out in the club. I can't go with you now because something different inside of me. Why? You can't go, but God is birthing something inside of me. And when God gets ready to bring it out of you, watch me now. You're going to stop. I don't care. You can be in California, Casablanca. But when the birth thing gets ready to happen, you're going to stop. Oh, y'all ain't with me. Y'all ain't following me. When God gets ready to bring something out to you, you're going to stop. You will not be the same anymore. You're going to stop. Look here. Look here. You're going to stop. Because you're going to, now I have to go to a different place, a different arena, be around different people now because I am in a birth process. He takes you to a pit to bring something out of you. Well, if you come to this text, these points, I'm about through with this. David said, I waited patiently on the Lord. The first thing, David, I want you to know in this text, David said, you must realize who will rescue you from the pit. He said, I will rescue you from the pit. And I want to tell you this. David said that he rescued me by reversing my situation. He did, right? He said, you were in a pit. And then he said, I'm going to establish your going. Mm-hmm. He said that you were clay. Now you are solid. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus, I hope you got it. I'm going to reverse your situation.
All right.
I hope you see it. You were in a pit. Now I'm establishing your going. You were clay. Now you are solid. I'm reversing your pit. Anybody had a pit reversal in here? Oh, I was headed one way, but God reversed it. I was going somewhere, but God turned me around. I wanted to put my hands on it, but I couldn't get to it. Because why? Because he reversed your pit. You've been there, haven't you? If you're a believer, you had to be there. Because God had to reverse some things in you for you to go the right direction. Amen. Amen. And he said, now God is going to God is taking you through what I want to call an exchange party. Where you're giving up something to get something from God. Giving up something to get something from God. I'm gonna give up that line to get something from God. I'm gonna get something from God. I'm gonna pay my tithe to get something from God. He's taking me to an exchange party. It's a change party. Why is this? Because this was a text that set me off. I'm going to shout. If I'm able to get through this one, so bear with me. He said, he brought me out. Boy, I started shouting on that one.
All right.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. What I like about that text, if you're in that text, I like about that, there was no specific P. piece of thing that he did to bring him out. As a matter of fact, he said, he brought me out. What method God used to bring you out, and how is God going to bring you out? The text doesn't say how. It says he. And some of you in some stuff right now, and you need to be rescued from. How did David get rescued from the pit? I can tell you how he got rescued from the pit. I can tell you he got rescued from the pit.
Yeah.
Some of you can testify as you look back over your life and see that you're alive and well right now.
Come on now.
And here you are in church tonight.
Come on now.
But you can't figure out how you got here. You just know he got you here. You really don't know. You really don't know how he worked it out, but you know that he worked it out. The text says, not how, he said, but he. He reversed their predicament and delivered me from the pit. And some of you are living dangerous situations right now, but he. Some of you should have been called a long time ago, but he. Some of you, oh, Jesus, help me here. Some of you shouldn't be where you are right now, but he. Are you with me? Some of you should have been dead right now, but he. Some of you should have been somewhere else right now, but he. I don't know how he did it, but I know that he did. Look to your neighbor, the neighbor. If you don't know he, you need to know he. Because he will bring you out. David said he brought me out of a horrible pit. I don't know about you, but he's brought me out of a horrible pit. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. My granddad, my grandbaby, Gabby, my grandbaby, has spinal muscular atrophy. It's a muscle disorder. A couple of weeks ago, she got sick. Sunday she was pretty and all everything, and Tuesday she was laying down and everything, and Monday she was laying down, and Wednesday she was in the hospital and could barely breathe. Because they don't have the ability within themselves to bring things up. Not strong, muscles not strong. And I haven't been too much involved in this, but this reason God sent me over there. It wasn't me. God sent me over there. My wife said, you know, my wife, she's an inquisitive person. She kept getting asked questions. I'd be saying, I don't know. But I like her asking me because she gave me a time to think. So I went into the ICU unit, the intensive care unit, and I went in there, and she was all cupped up with tubes all in her body, and about this big, and she was struggling to breathe. And I was in a place I didn't know what to do. You ever been in a place you don't know what to do? You know God and still don't know what to do? You know God and still don't know what to do. I knew what to do. And so I went and looked at her, and she was struggling with all these tubes in her to breathe. I mean, little body, ribs showing and struggling to breathe, trying to catch a breath. It's amazing when I went in there, everybody spread it like the Red Sea spread. I don't know why they spread it. My wife went to one corner, and the daddy went to one corner, they spread it. I said, oh Lord, they spread it like the Red Sea. Lord Jesus, what am I doing here? I went to her because she wasn't saying one word. Not an ounce of noise was coming from her mouth. And Gabby is an agitated baby. She raised a lot of sin. Sometimes it's good. Matter of fact, my Bible study that night was when pain and noise is good. That's my Bible study. When pain and noise is good. But I walked back in where she was, and immediately God took my hand and put my hand on her. Mm-hmm. And I began to rub her. Amen. Rub her. Just rub her a little bit. I just looked at it and rubbed her. That wasn't any magical words coming out of my mouth. I just put my hands on her. Mm-hmm. And I just rubbed her. Turned around, went back out the door, and I got to myself very quietly, like, and but she still hadn't said anything. And I said, oh, Lord, she didn't say anything. And so I went back out the door, and then we got about to light flight her to Gainesville, and everybody else came back in, and when they put her hands on her, she said, ah!
All right.
And when she said that, I knew she wasn't well, but God showed me I'm going to get her well for you.
All right.
Because all of a sudden she hollered in her pain. Now somebody said, I don't know what was done. I just know he did it.
All right.
He did it. He did it. He did it. He did it. And I can understand. I'm gonna get a little aged right here. I can understand how gray-haired folks can sit down on God.
Well,
I know we got somebody covered up. That's all right. It's gray under there. That's all right. I don't understand how people with gray mustaches can sit out on God. You should be running all around the church.
Yes.
Why? Because I can't tell you how he did it, but I can tell you he did it for me. I don't know about you, but I need every gray-haired person in here to just clap their hand and say he. Clap your hand and say he. He did it. 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 Well, he only said that. I'm about to get through. He said not only did he do it, but he said though, I'm going to give you a revelation of transformation. A revelation of transformation. In other words, while you're in the pit, God takes you to a revelation to transform you. Yes, he does. I was watching the car racing the other day. I'm not necessarily a car race fan. The car racing the other day. And I was watching the car race the other day. I saw the cars moving real fast around the circle. But I saw a car come in and for a pit stop. And you let pit stop begin to talk to me. He said, Christians in a pit and a pit stop got something in common. That's don't have me hallucinating here, pit stop. Tell me what does a pit and a pit stop have something to do with Christians? I believe it's Shakespeare says there's sermon in stones, and I believe you can get a message from a pit stop. But he said, well, you must understand that a pit stop in a believer's life is not a pit stop. It's not a pit stay. A pit stop is not a pit stay. Every now and then, God will bring you into a pit stop. But it's not a pit stay. I saw them change the gas. Every now and then, when God takes you to a pit stop, there's not a pit stay. He just want to change the gas in you. I saw them lift up the hood and to check the oil. And I said, "Well, Lord," I said. He said, "I know." He said, "But every now and then, a Christian's oil got to be checked a little bit. But they can't get it checked until I bring them into the pit stop." Oh, Jesus! And every now and then we get tired of running. Oh, have your tires ever got tired? Oh, y'all ain't with me. You get tired of moving and running. You can't move no more, and your tires have to be changed. So God has to put you in a pit stop to change your tires. I don't know about you, but God will take you to a pit. Just for a pit stop for a moment. Just to revive you and to refresh you. I don't know about you, but I've been revived and I've been refreshed because God had to take me to a pit stop, but it wasn't a pit stay. Now watch me now. Have you ever seen in those car races where they get ready to put gas in the car, but the car is so anxious to get back to the race that they pull off and, oh, you ain't with me, are you? They'll pull off and they'll leave the gas. They'll pull off and the tires come off. He said, now watch me now. I said, if I bring you to a pit stop, you got to let me do the work on you that I'm going to do on you. Because if you leave too soon, you won't be able to make it through the race. Can I help you here? Some of you know what God has called you to do, but you've left too soon. You know what God has wanted you to do, but you've left too soon.
Yeah.
Why? Because they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And your strength haven't been renewed yet. I got one more point, because in the text, says that after he finished all that, the text said he put a song in my mouth.
Yes.
I used to wonder why my grandmama and my granddaddy would walk around the house a little bit, just going,
Go ahead.
See, they don't moan no more these days.
Go ahead.
And after a while, she'll break us, oh, Lord, have mercy. That's, oh, Lord, grandma just singing. Why? Because God had put a song in her mouth. And because he put a song in her mouth, watch me now, she had to sing praises to the Lord.
Yeah.
Can I help you here? One of the reasons why we saints don't sing to the Lord, because he has not given you a new song in your mouth.
All right.
You got to walk with him and talk with him in order to get a new song in your mouth. Well, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to my seat. There was a deacon, called him Deacon Davis, on the verge of senility, going blind. His wife, too. But they had to take him to a home because he has gone blind. Deke had gotten frustrated because now he couldn't do what he wanted to do. Now he couldn't say what he wanted to say. On the verge of blindness. But they took him to a home because he was not able to do what he needed to do. I will let you know that God just took him to a home just for a pit stop and not a pit stay.
Yeah.
Well, while he was at home, he began to learn new stuff. How many of you been in a pit? When you got out, you learned some new stuff to do. Why? Because God had to change you in the pit.
Yeah.
Are you with me? He got there, and so a preacher went by to visit him. He said, Deke, I came by to visit you. Deke said, I'm glad to see you. He said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing well. He said, how you doing? Well, he said, because I once was blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
I was lost, but now I'm found. He said, what you talking about, Deke? He said, I came here feeling sorry for myself. But now God took me from the pit, stopped, gave me a little joy in my heart. That now in my blindness, I'm able to teach Sunday school. And I'm able to sing songs in my blindness. He said, because in my pit, he put a word in my heart. And put a song in my lips. He said, I preach Sunday school by singing songs and putting a word out every now and then. The man said, how do you do it? You can't see, Deke. He said, well, do you know your ABCs? He said, yes, I know my ABCs. He said, well, you said your ABCs, and I'll tell you how I sing songs on my mouth and say words out of my heart. The boy said, hey. He said, and you know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and for them who are called according to his purpose.
Yes,
he said, that's good, Deke. That now you know how you teach Sunday school. He said, that's all you know is A? He said, no, I got some more. He said, bring it on then. He said, B. He said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Yeah.
He said, see, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit is in me. He said, D, he said, do, Lord, do remember me. He said, he's every good and perfect thing come from God above.
Yeah.
He said, F said, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know.
Right.
He said, gee, God is my refuge and my strength and ever-present help in the time of trouble. He said, H, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Yeah.
Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. He said, I in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He said, Jay, just as I am, without one plea. Yeah. Oh, he said, K, keep that heart with all diligence. Yeah. He said, I-L, said, love lifted me.
Yeah.
Love lifted me.
Right.
When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Right.
He said, M, he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All he led, he said, in nobody but you, Lord, nobody but you. When I was in trouble, you brought me over, nobody but you. Said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord,
yeah,
for he is good. He said, oh, he said, P, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. Q said, quench not the spirit. He said, Ara, revive me again. Revive me again. He said, S, sing praise unto the Lord, O ye saints. He said, T, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, you unto you, O Lord, I give thanks. He said, V, very, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again.
That's right.
W, without God, I can do nothing. Without him, I will fail. He said, X, the young man said, oh, Deke, I got you now, Deke. I got you now, Deke. The young man said, bring it on then. He said, X, he said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. He said, yea, why? He said, yea, yea. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
yeah,
I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. He said, Z, Zacchaeus, come on down. Zacchaeus, come on down. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will heal you.
Yeah.
Can I testify? Because he lives.
Yeah.
I can face tomorrow.
Come on, come on.
Because he lives.
Yes, sir.
All fear is gone. Because I know. I got to stop. Who holds? I know who holds. I got to do something tomorrow. And I know who holds it. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. All I know, if I'm in a pit, I want to sing this song. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Come on now, come on, man.
All right. Hear my humble cry. While on earth as thou art calling, do, hallelujah. One more time from the verse that pass me not, pass me not, O gentle. If I'm in the pit, just don't pass me, Lord. Oh, while on the others, while on others, oh, oh, hey, woo, hey. Savior, Savior, Savior. Just hear mama cry. Oh, while on others are calling, calling. One more time, the Savior, 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 Savior. Savior. Oh Lord. Oh. Ah, while others are calling.